Sorry, I'm pushing a few buttons for the podcasting stuff as we go along. Rusty always likes to mess stuff up for me. I think he likes to challenge me before I get going. But here we are on the 28th. Yeah. Always blaming the boombox guys. Thank you so much for tuning in on Friday, Sunday, the 28th. The last day of February. I don't even know what I just said. February 28th, the last. It's not Friday. It's February. I'm just trying to extend my weekend a little bit. Here we are. We're going to be talking about a very important, a very controversial topic today. We're going to be talking about the Albemarle County school budget and where all the funds are going to come from to do what they would like to do, or where all the cuts are going to go to work with the money that is currently out there to work with. Let's welcome everybody. We're going to start with Jane Kulo. Jane, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for the invitation to join you today.
Well, and you actually helped put the show together. I think I sent you an email, and you wrote back and said, we'd love to do this, and what would you like me to do? And I said, here, well, send me some homework to do on the topic and find two other guests. And job done, A+.
Thank you, Rick.
Next, we also have a student, and Jane is with the Albemarle County Public Schools Parent Council. So the Parent Council does what?
We have one representative from each of the county schools. We meet downtown on a monthly basis with administration, and our job is to act as an informational liaison, bringing information to the administration and also taking information from county schools administration back to our parents. So our job in all of these budget efforts is to make sure our parents are well informed.
We also have a student with us today. We're going to check the mixer microphones that always cause me trauma. Chelsea Henderson, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right, a lot closer.
Is that
lots and lots
good
closer.
Good morning.
And Chelsea is from Monticello High School, student council, and you play volleyball?
I play softball.
Softball. All right, you're going to have to just get up and love that microphone. It's so important to you for the hour. And a senior?
Yes, sir.
All right. Didn't we have that problem last week or 2 weeks ago, people calling me sir and making me feel old? We also have Ryan Schell. Ryan, a social studies teacher at Albemarle High School.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And thank you. So we have three folks here. We have a student, we have a teacher, and we have a parent. So we should have lots of aspects covered in the topic. We're going to toss out the phone number in a little bit because I'm sure that there are a handful of people who would like to contribute and make sure that their opinions and comments are heard. Kristen's here today to take your call and patch you through. But let's just start. And Jane, I'm going to start with you because you sent me all the homework. It's a statewide issue. But the three of you are from Albemarle, so we'll sort of represent the problem throughout the state with some of the numbers from Albemarle. Currently, Albemarle County has a budget deficit of how many dollars in meeting what the proposed or requested number of funds are versus what's out there?
Right now, the county schools have submitted their funding request to the Board of Supervisors. And we're looking at an $8.8 million deficit, even after $6 million in cuts were made.
So there's a $14 million deficit from what the school system says. Here was what we would like to have to contribute to continue on as normal. And then they said, okay, we'll cut our request by $6
million. They took a look at every single department, every single program, and in fact, every single classroom, and cut as much as this division could stomach. And when they felt that they were cutting into the bone, they said, we need to put this in the hands of the Board of Supervisors and let them know we don't think we can make additional cuts without seriously affecting the quality of education in Albemarle County.
But there are still $8.8 million missing to meet that request.
That's right.
Okay. I'm sorry, that number I just find to be fascinating. Fascinatingly horrible, but fascinating nonetheless. What is the overall budget for the schools? So I have some sort of comparison. What's the current, how much money was given to the school system for 2009-10 year?
Roughly about $144 million, which was a $3 or $4 million cut from the previous year.
All right, so Sean, what's the percentage on that? 9 million, 8.8, almost 9, out of almost 150, so 6%? Too bad Ryan... Too bad Ryan Shell was not a math teacher. Exactly. I'm going to say that that's about 6%. I don't know. Let's continue on while I overcome that sort of problem. And Jane Kulo from the Albemarle County Public Schools Parent Council, the Parent Council, there are several tiers out there, correct? Depending on how much the school system and the Board of Supervisors decide to actually cut, is that correct?
That's exactly right. Superintendent Moran's initial funding request to the school board identified three tiers of cuts, and she incorporated the first tier, which was, I think, about $4 or $5 million into her initial request. And the school board took a look at what she had done and thought she had done a great job of trying to cut trying to make cuts in all areas across the division. And the second and third tier of cuts, which are really, really huge changes for this division, are a part of the $8.8 million deficit that remains.
All right, let's incorporate our two other guests, Chelsea Henderson, who's a student at Monticello. Chelsea, a senior?
Yes, sir.
And Ryan, a social studies teacher at Albemarle. Ryan, how long have you been with the Albemarle County School System?
I'll be completing my fourth year.
Okay, so perfect. County. There's a good comparison here. Chelsea, we'll start with you, the student. What have you seen as changes that you would associate with a decreasing budget over the 4 years that you've been here? Programs been added? Have programs been removed? What have you seen happen that you would associate with the budgeting?
Well, while I've been a student at Monticello, I've been afforded a lot of good opportunities in my classes and in programs at Monticello. This year, they implemented a netbook project for physics students, and each student enrolled in the physics courses got netbook computers to do work with. So I don't think that I've experienced anything thus far with the budget as far as missing out. Next year, that will change.
Why? What do you say about next year? Because now you're more, seemingly, if you're on the program today, you're a little more heavily involved in the discussion about what's going on. So what do you have in your mindset that would be different from this year, the 4 years you've had, versus next year and what the discussion says might be removed?
I think that depends on each individual school. Next year, they're going to be implementing a 4x4 schedule. And right now, we take 8 courses or 7 courses year-round. So then certain electives will go, but that will all depend on students enrolled in the courses. So I don't know which ones will go and which ones will stay.
What's a 4x4 course?
Oh, sorry. 4x4 means 4 classes will meet, the same 4 classes will meet one semester, and then during the second semester of school, a different 4 classes will meet. So then it's not, you don't meet year-round.
So it sounds much like a college, University of Virginia, where I took coursework for fall semester and spring semester.
Yes, it's similar. Yeah.
Ryan?
Right. I think that describes it well. but each individual schools, there's some courses that are not going to lend themselves well to the 4x4 schedule, like advanced placement courses and other things. And then we also have some courses that were semester courses, and now do those become, you know, how do you do those in a quarter, you know, of the year that would normally have been a semester course and things like that. So there's definitely a lot of issues, and, you know, each, as Chelsea said, each school is different. So there's you know, we're scrambling around now because this was implemented, you know, very recently, scrambling around to make new scheduling and things like that.
Do you feel that that's, is that a good phrase for it, is scrambling around?
Well, I mean, there's lots of professionals hard at work on it, so we will figure this out. I mean, we're already getting a lot of teacher input and things on the schedule at Albemarle High School, where I teach, for example, and you know, we'll pull together and make the best of it. But
And I think that many would say that the school system with the professionals, and again, let me announce that I come from a family of teachers, none in the Charlottesville, Albemarle, or Central Virginia area, so I would proudly state that teachers always do the best they can with whatever wonderful or poor circumstances that they're sort of set with. But let me go back. You mentioned AP courses.
Right. And I'm not an AP teacher, so.
But if the goal, tell me what the goal of an AP course is.
Well, it's a rigorous college-level course. So, you know, meant to be taught over the course of a year as opposed to a semester. You know, I think one of the things in education, there's a lot of benefits to the schedule we've been on, where a student will come to a class every other day, you know, retaining the information, having time to process that information, doing homework that's based on that. Some of that type of, you know, thing that's good for learning itself might be taken away in having a 4x4 schedule.
Aren't the AP tests all given at the same time of year?
Correct.
Throughout the state?
Well, by the nationwide. I mean, that's one of the foundations of the AP program.
Is
right?
The current plan to only have the AP courses available in the spring? Because the AP tests are given sometime in May or June,
right,
correct?
Right, right.
So if you have the AP course is being taught in the fall, then you have right. 6 months before you actually are tested on it. That seems somewhat unfair to someone who's assigned that.
That's why the AP courses will not be taught on the 4x4 schedule. So that's what I meant. The scheduling is going to be an issue of figuring out which courses to teach on the 4x4 and which courses that will have to be taught on what we call the AB schedule, every other day schedule, the year-long schedule.
Jane?
You had mentioned, Rick, that one of your goals is to understand some of this a little bit better. And just to take a step back from the 4x4, the actual budget line item was where the savings is occurred, and it's about $870,000 in savings, is changing all of the high school and middle school schedules from a 7-period day to an 8-period day. Now, everybody knows that means you're asking the teachers to teach more for the same amount of money, and that's how the savings comes in. The next step, and this was done very quickly, which was a major part of concern for many people, but it was also a quick response to incredibly dire news from Richmond. The next step was to then take that 8-period day and modify it into a 4x4 schedule, in part to try to mitigate the demands on both students and teachers.
All right. I won't claim to understand much of that at all. So I take, give me the 8 courses that I, or normally how many courses would I take as a, I won't say seniors, because I know the seniors have some weird stuff that goes on that allow them to step out of classware.
At Albemarle, there's 7.
Wait. Sorry. Go ahead.
At Albemarle, there's 7. Right now, there's 7 academic periods over the course of 2 days.
All right. I take English, Spanish, math, science,
social studies,
PE, and we'll say art.
Okay.
So those are my 7 classes. So how do I go to school right now? How are those classes taught to me now?
Every other day.
What sort of schedule?
Each of those, we have a red day and a blue day. So
all right. So I take
on red
days. Four of them on Monday and the other three on Tuesday.
Right,
and
we
then
have
four of them on and so forth and alternate.
Yeah, and we have what we call it at Almar an eighth period now, which is kind of in some ways a catch-all period. It's to remediation and study, and we have clubs during that time and a lot of other things as well. So that's right. Actually something that's going to have to be looked at Albemarle, is that won't be able to be the same anymore.
11:17 here on the Wake Up Calls. We're talking about school budget. I'm sort of doing a little early learning because I think that a lot of people to whom this topic is important goes beyond the student, the teacher, and the parent of someone who's in school, because I pay taxes as well, and I want to know where my money's going, and I need to understand the classwork just a little bit than beyond the headline and what I say is the paragraph reader who reads the first paragraph in the paper. We are talking with Jane Kulo, who is on the Parent Council here in Albemarle County, Chelsea Henderson, who's a student at Monticello High School, Ryan Schell, who is a teacher at Albemarle High School. All right, so I have the classes. We alternate every other day. And so the new class, if it's a 4x4 schedule, I only take four of those classes in the fall, and then the other ones I only take in the spring?
Right.
All right.
Unless you need AP or something like that. Right,
right. And then now my schedule's really screwed up. There, part of the talk is how to drop the budget. And, Jane, you said early on $8.8 million is the current need for budget reduction.
That's right.
All right. So there's a variety of ways that has been suggested. There's increasing class size, correct? There's reducing the number of teachers. There's actually taking away a couple of the school days to save money on transportation and some of the, I guess, for lack of a better phrase on my end, the non-academic workers in the county, the bus drivers, the folks in the cafeteria department, the folks who help keep the place clean. And so they lose pay as well, correct?
That's right. All of the above that you just mentioned are on the table.
All right, so, Chelsea, you're 17, unable to vote this past November.
Right.
I would love to hear from people who did vote in November, because this question to me is one of the most important that's out there. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, because this goes beyond Albemarle County. I think this is a statewide issue. If you voted for Governor McDonnell, if you voted for Rodney Thomas in Albemarle County, these two and many others ran on the platform of, we're not going to raise taxes. We all pay too many taxes. We're going to work under this, knowing as we went in that there was less revenue coming forward because of the economy. Did Jane Kulo or Ryan Schell, I ask you blunt, on air, did either of you vote for Governor McDonnell? Did either of you vote for Ronnie Thomas or either of the other Board of Supervisors folks who ran on that platform?
No.
No.
So you don't have to. Are you? Do you deal with others who did? And that was the answer I expected. Seriously, it is. I know Sean McCord. You have students.
I don't live in the county.
You don't live in the county, but the city is having the same issue. But based on past experience, I can guess who you voted for as well. I would like to hear from people who voted for these folks. It's not all Republicans, but who voted for this. And find out what your stand is now in terms of dealing with the school budgets. Jane, you must be dealing with these parents of all types who voted for both sides, and how are you handling this?
Rick, we have 12,800 and something students in this county, and you know that those families have every spectrum of opinion on just how this budget crisis will be dealt with. Our job as Parent Council is to put the information in front of them and very clearly say, if this is something you care about, if you have concerns about how these $8.8 million in cuts will be made, if you care about adequate funding for our schools, here is what you can do. I can't stand up in front of parents and say, go do this. I will stand up in front of parents and say, if you care about it, especially this week when the County Board of Supervisors has their public hearing on Wednesday night, there will be many competing interests, all advocating for a much smaller pool of money. This is how democracy is supposed to work. If parents care and want some of that money to go to schools, they should speak up.
Do you run into parents who are either parts of the parent council or who speak to the parent council who say, you know what, the school gets too much money already and they waste a lot of money. So, you know, reducing $8.8 million shouldn't be that hard.
Absolutely. Every year we get that. And this, even this year when it looks like these cuts could be catastrophic, we get a lot of concerns about overstaffing downtown. And my response is, in 2007, the county schools commissioned a resource utilization study. The responses to that, or the results of that study, said there was overstaffing. There were areas where some serious cuts could be made. And over the last 2 years, most of those cuts were implemented. That's what made this year such a double whammy, or a perfect storm. Because if you've trimmed and cut serious areas up to this point, and then you face a $14 to $15 million deficit, the only place that's left is in the heart of education, right in the classroom.
11:23 here on the Wake Up Call. We're talking about budget deficits through the education system here in the state of Virginia. Our three guests are all from the Albemarle County view of things. Chelsea Henderson, Monticello High School senior, Ryan Schell, social studies teacher at Albemarle High School, and Jane Kulo, who is in the county parent council. Dial us up with your question or comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me give you the markets of Targa Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's a partly cloudy day, very windy out there, highs 45 to 50. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the upper 20s. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs 50 to 55, a little cooler over in the valley. Right now, it's a nice but cloudy day in the listening area, 39 in the valley, 42 in Lynchburg, 46 in Richmond, 42 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right. Let me also give a shout out to Petite Baby, a children's and maternity boutique offering everything for babies and children up to 14 and for mothers to be. Petite Baby carries sustainable products for kids, including strollers and car seats, clothing, and gift items. They also offer a baby shower registry. That's Petite BB. They're at 1st and Water Street here in Charlottesville, open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and on Saturdays from 10 to 5. For more info online, it's Petite BB. That's BEBE.com. And not that you would forget, but remember that the fundraiser is coming up at the end of March. And there's only one program like the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, and the reason that we have the program is because of listeners like Kathy Henshey, Ann Evans, and others, all who supported us in the fall fund drive. It's also because of underwriters like Styx and the Market Street Wine Shop. So stay tuned and tell a friend about the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call and other programming you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support us in the spring. All right. Back with our guests. That's Chelsea Henderson, Ryan Schell, and Jane Kulo. A question to all three of you. The state as a whole, not just the county, dealing with budget deficits. Governor McDonnell has said that whether it's university or secondary or elementary schools will have less funds given to them from the state. Would any of you say that the state should give more funds to the school system and take funds from somewhere else, that the school system is too important to receive lesser funding? No. Ryan, I see you so want to say something.
You know, it's one of those things in a tough budget, you know, cycle or whatever you want to call it, in the state, around the country, you know, you have to prioritize things. And I think nothing can give you a return on your investment like a good education. So, you know, of all the things you could cut, I mean, except for most basic services, it seems to me that education is the thing that should be cut the least. And of course, to look at Albemarle's situation, there's already huge cuts being made. We're talking today about the additional $8.8 million. There's already been, you know, the budget included huge, massive cuts already. So we're talking about more cuts. I think a lot of places would say, including Albemarle, that education is their top priority. But are you going, you know, you have to step up and fund that then, if that is your priority.
Chelsea, you're getting ready to go to college?
I am.
Where are you going?
Hopefully the University of Richmond.
Another state school, although private, but still, the school does receive funding from the state.
Right.
So you've had your time at Monticello winding down. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And moving off to a state school, state university, do you believe that funding maybe should be trimmed from other parts of the statewide or county budget?
I do. It's disheartening to hear that education funds will be cut just because it is so important. I agree with Ryan as far as prioritizing goes. I do understand that the state has their own budget problems, but I just think that education is so important. You'd probably want to put that at the top of your list.
And so what's a little further down the list? I'll put you on the spot. This is going to happen to you a lot as you get older, ma'am. So what if you put education, if you prioritize and you put education at the top or near the very top, where does the rest of the money come from? I don't have any kids in school. There are plenty of people out there who don't have kids in school now, future, or past. And so where are you taking my money from here and putting it here?
I don't know the answer to that.
Jane?
Rick, I think this is something that you need to take just one little half step back from and see. It seems to me this is a systemic problem where the state decides we will no longer fund this, and then you have the Virginia Secretary of Education saying to the teachers and the educators, don't give up hope, look to your localities. So you have the state cutting back in, you know, so many areas, and they're not saying we don't support these. They're saying if you want support, go to your Board of Supervisors. So, I don't know. You've got a governor that has made the decision that tourist rest stops are more important than school breakfasts for the children that don't get enough food at home. How do you make that decision?
Ryan?
I think cuts wise, I just think that, you know, it comes down to, I think for our community, that this is kind of a defining moment about priorities. And, you know, are we willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary? And you know, nobody wants to see, everyone has things that they value and everything. And certainly education is one of the things I value and everything. And I'm not just a teacher in this county. I'm a parent of students who are in elementary school and will go through this system and end up at Monticello High School. And I'm also a taxpayer, and I'm willing to pay several hundred dollars more in property tax a year to make sure that our education system here stays. You know, one of the things when I came here as a teacher, that Albemarle County was touted as a world-class school division. And, you know, for that to be true, you know, these cuts cannot be made. So,
all right, let's talk a little bit about specifics here and the possible potential is the word I have in front of me, potential school board reductions. 11:31 here in the wake-up call. We're talking with Chelsea Henderson, a student at Monticello, Ryan Schell, who's a teacher at Albemarle High School, and Jane Kulo, a member of the Parent Council, all here in Albemarle County. But again, this is a statewide issue, just some specifics here at Albemarle County with our guests today. So I have in front of me potential school board reductions for Tier 3. Chelsea, let's bring you into this real quick and right away. But let's take the phone call, because I have this paper in front of me at all times. Everybody got your headphones on? Joe, are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. What you got? Joe from Rockbridge County. Fire away.
Yeah, look, I voted for McDonald, and I voted for McDonald because he wasn't going to raise taxes. And I'd like your guests to answer this question, true or false. State of Virginia in the last 10 years has doubled the size of government, doubled our revenue, doubled the scope and size of government in 10 years. And do they think that's reasonable?
Well, Joe, before you hang up, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Because I was waiting for someone who took that train of thought to participate in the program. If taxes aren't to be raised, and I just asked the guest this, where do the if you are for keeping education at a high level on the hierarchy, where does the money come from that is already out there in tax collections? Where do you move it from to put it in education if you feel that's important?
Well, you don't make money out of whole cloth, okay? These are tax dollars, and you have to respect tax dollars, okay? And we, you know, local, state, federal government, there's layers to this, okay? So for people like me, we see an out-of-control federal government that's just creating money, printing money, borrowing money. We have a president who holds a job summit who doesn't even invite the Chamber of Commerce, doesn't invite National Federation of Independent Business.
All right, Joe, but you're not answering my question. I'm not going to debate. That's not the debate of the day. The debate or the question is, if there's already a lot of money out there, where do you move the money from?
You tighten up. We've got $2 million shortfall in Rockbridge County. You tighten up. Do we need 4 administrators and 4 guidance counselors at our high school? I went to a high school of similar size. We had a principal, an assistant principal, and a guidance counselor. We might have had 2. I don't recall that. But do we need 4? Can we go to school 4 days a week? Okay, can we have permanent bus routes? Do we need to teach French? Do we really need to teach French? Elective studies teachers that teach classes of, you know, 10 kids, can we combine 2 classes of 10 into 20 and get our teachers, you know, certified in other disciplines so that they can pick up a full schedule?
All right, now that's what I wanted to hear.
Lots of things you do. You tighten up. You just tighten up.
All right. Well, let me go back to my group.
We might have to combine 2 of our middle schools. We might have 1 middle school in the high school.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Because that's what I wanted to hear was someone who, you know, how do we save the money? Joe from Rockbridge County bringing up a lot of interesting points there. Thanks for the call. And his question to you was, don't we already have enough money? Taxes raised, doubled in the last several years. Folks, Jane, let's start with you. You're shooting me that evil bullet glare look. So fire back.
Well, one of the ways that I would respond to that is that the demands that are made upon our schools, including those administrators and those guidance counselors, and frankly, the teachers and the students, are completely different from perhaps when Joe went to school. I know certainly from when I went to school, and the competition our students face, and you know, Chelsea can speak to this, when they get out of school and when they get out of college is so much greater than it ever was before, and it is international.
Chelsea, have you taken a foreign language course?
I have. I'm in Spanish 4.
Do you feel that?
Not
that,
French.
Do you take it because it's required? Did you really have any interest in taking it beforehand?
For my advanced diploma, 3 years were required. I'm in the 4th year of Spanish.
So would you have taken it if that wasn't out there? If you didn't have to take it, would you have taken something that may be a little more along your interest?
Probably not, because Spanish was my interest.
Okay.
11:37 on the wake-up call. Joe, thank you, because now I see the line is ringing. Let me do this real quick, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
How many bullets does it take to bring down one teenager? The parents of Colby Eppert say the loss of their son is compounded by the questions they have about how he died. Questions they say authorities have been unwilling to answer. Charlottesville police began enforcing the law of citizen snow removal, but some folks complain that the city isn't cleaning their own sidewalks and they're not getting any tickets. The city also has new noise laws under proposal. It says residents cheering and some restaurants arguing loudly. The Hook, helping your education with a new issue every Thursday. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being with us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. Online, brgtshirts.com. And Blue Ridge Mountain Sports out there today with gear for your spring break adventure, including sandals and swimwear, sun protection, and apparel from brands like the North Face. Also at Blue Ridge, you'll find a selection of travel gear for the modern explorer. That's Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Road Shopping Center near UVA at Wintergreen and two locations in Richmond. Plus online, brms.com. All right, back in action with our guest today, Chelsea Henderson, a senior at Monticello High School in Albemarle County, Ryan Schell, social studies teacher at Albemarle High School, and Jane Kulo, who's on the Parent Council here in Albemarle County. Chelsea, we were going to talk about some of the more specific potential changes due to the budget, and one of them has to do with sports, because this seems to have a lot of people yelling pro or con. Is that one of the proposals is that you would have to pay to play?
That's correct.
Can you explain that a little bit?
So each student participating in a sport would pay $75 per sport. Now, it would be different for families with multiple children in sports. Their maximum fee is $450, and they cannot surpass that. So I think it would be, or it will be, difficult for families, but the money's got to come from somewhere, and the county's already reduced a lot of income with the budget cuts, so that's an option they see.
And fair, unfair? You said you're a cheerleader?
Yes.
And you play softball?
Yes, sir.
Have you played more than one sport? Is cheerleading count as a sport? Would you have to pay $75 for that?
Yes, it does. Okay. Count as a sport.
Just asking. So for you, that would have been $150.
Yes.
An issue? Not an issue? Would you have still participated? Do you have friends or team members who would not have participated?
They're going to look at each student individually. Students that are on free or reduced lunch would have a discounted rate, or potentially wouldn't have to pay at all. I probably would have still participated, just because I love it so much. I think that's when you prioritize and you say, is it worth it or is it not? And then really recognizing the fact that the county just can't. It's something that they have to do. They've turned to doing that.
They've also discussed removing ninth grade sports altogether?
I have not heard that.
Jane?
That was very specifically ninth grade basketball for both boys and girls at Monticello and at Western. Albemarle was not included. They're in a different division. And right now that was moved down in the tiers. It's still on the table, but it's not currently cut.
All right, we have another call. Put those headphones on, boys and girls. We have Susan from Scottsville. Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a teacher in the county. I teach at Walton, and here's a shout-out to Chelsea. I taught her science.
Hi.
And, she's a fantastic student, so thoroughly enjoy teaching her. I have three points, comments, kind of questions, but the comment about the 4x4, at Walton we currently teach kind of a modified 4x4, and I think that's something that as schools look at it, they'll be able to kind of modify to their needs what they can do. Our students do math and language arts every day and then do a science and social studies every other semester, or each semester, and then we have a fifth block every day, which, like Ron was saying, is for remediation, extra attention, some groups and club. I have two things. The gentleman from Rockbridge County who said that we really need to tighten up. My concern is that if we tighten up too much, that it's going to break. And we're kind of at a point now with the school system and with education is if we just keep tightening, 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 we're going to break. We're going to lose teachers. We're going to lose all of the gains that we've made. And the vision that we have to be a global community will just be lost. I'm definitely willing. I teach in the county. I live in the county. I don't have kids in schools, but I'm definitely willing to step up and pay more taxes if that's what's needed.
Well, I think Joe would say, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, and this conversation comes up at least a little bit almost every time a similar discussion is had. What if I'm willing to pay more taxes because they go directly to the school system and I don't want to pay any more taxes because I don't have any kids and you need to tighten up?
Well, I would say that is the kids and the schools basically create the citizens of the future. And the students that I'm teaching now are going to be taking care of my community as I grow older, as my family and my, you know, friends and their children grow older. And that's just, it's a cycle that we have to contribute to no matter where we are in that cycle.
All right, Susan, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, thank you.
Ryan?
Something to Susan's point, I think, you know, one of the big concerns is, you know, it's all about economics here. And here's a perfect case where, you know, having good schools is smart economically, right? I mean, it influences home values in our area, and it attracts, it can attract and retain businesses and also, and workers. Plus, you know, what our students go out and become the workforce in this community. So all these things are related as well. It's like I said earlier, I think it's a good investment economically as well.
But wouldn't, and I'll say this not knowing that it's accurate, wouldn't Joe from Rockbridge, wouldn't Governor McDonnell in Richmond say, it's not all about the schools. The businesses do this too. The businesses are the people that help support our community of the future. And if we continue to tax them so that they don't come here, then, you know, we have a similar, same, or even worse problem than we do with the school system. True, not true?
I think if you talk to any business that is considered relocation to Albemarle County, or if you talk to any business that actually tries to recruit workers for Albemarle County, and you ask them what is the top of their list for considerations, if it's not at the very top, education is in the top two or three items. The quality of the education that their workers can get and the quality of the education that their potential employees receive.
11:45 here on the wake-up call as we're talking about school budget deficits here in the state of Virginia, a little specific today in Albemarle County. Jane Kulo is from the Parent Council. Chelsea Henderson, a student at Monticello High School. Ryan Schell, a teacher at Albemarle High School. Let me get back to some of the specifics that are listed as potential cuts. For people who aren't aware of this, either because they don't have the time or the energy to be quite as involved, or because they don't have kids in the school system, but would really like to know that this is on the board. Reducing staff for gifted students. Jane?
It's on the table.
I guess I should have said this beforehand. Give a sentence or two for each topic that I throw out here as how it would work, what would happen. I mean, are we just talking about taking one teacher away, talking about removing the program altogether?
When you look at the line items in the division-wide budget, all of these class size increases or teacher cuts, which they've sort of become equal to the same, they are across the division. So I don't know how many gifted teachers we have now, but if they're cutting a certain number, sometimes that ends up being a fraction of a number at an individual school. So it's difficult to assess at each individual school just how that will impact until they see what the final budget will be.
Now, many of these things, and I'm going to read this, and you provided me with this information, and many of these say something similar. Auburn Isle County Public Schools provides gifted services at levels that exceed state requirements. And it says that for many of these, what we'll talk about, and I think, and we go back, I'm speaking for Joe, who's not on the phone with us anymore. But hey, trim it down. Why do we need to have more than the state requires? Ryan?
Well, I mean, I'm an educator, and to me, you know, you need to provide for all types of students you have. I mean, we provide remediation services for lower level students. We have these gifted programs. I mean, what kind of school division do we want to be? We want to be a school division that, you know, not only that helps all our students, and there are students who are gifted students who need extra attention as well. And so do we want to be just what the state mandates, you know, or do we want to be above that? And I think the answer to that is an easy answer, yes.
All right.
Rick,
ooh, here's,
could I just add a little bit to that? One of the things that we've seen over the years is the state requirements, which are called the standards of quality, they're dictated by the Department of Education. Those standards of quality are the bare minimum that the state will allow. And as we've seen over the years, the state will continue to pare back on the standards of quality and how much of the SOQs that they will fund. So at some point, Albemarle County made the decision, we will establish our own standards of quality. And they have always been above and beyond what the state mandates. And that is why this school division has received the reputation it has for providing a quality education.
One of the things that I thought to be interesting was that the school can reduce the number of days that they go to school. I can't find where I put that note, but something about they talk about taking 2 days off the calendar. Is that correct?
One of the other things on there is 5 furlough days for employees. So that could be another.
What's a furlough day? Define that for me.
Because they send us home.
An unpaid vacation
yes,
day?
Yes, indeed.
Unpaid
that's
vacation?
That's what it is, yes.
So, but wouldn't you do that? Would you, and again, I'm speaking specifically to Ryan Schell here, not the entire teaching system in Albemarle County. But would you take five furlough days so that you can have not increase the number of kids in your classroom or allow the gifted program to remain where it is or some of the other things?
I'd have to get, well, speaking for myself, yes, that's something I would do. And I would, if I had to accept it, I would accept it. But again, why do we have these extra days? Because it's above the minimum. The idea is those could be possibly 7 instructional days that would be gone. So, you know, that's why they're there. They help our kids do better, achieve more.
Chelsea Henderson from Monticello High School. How many, you take 7 classes now?
Yes.
And what's the sort of average number of kids in a class?
I'd say 15.
Do you feel that that's too many? Not enough? Could your class take more?
It could, but I think at that number, you really get a good teacher-to-student ratio. And then we go back to the quality education and Albemarle County wanting to go above and beyond. I think that allows us to do so. At some point, the classes get too big, and at some point, you don't learn.
Chelsea, is that because you're a senior and some of the classes you take are smaller sizes now? Or, I mean, when you were a freshman and sophomore and, you know, it was kind of more people taking a standard kind of class, was there more students in the class?
Yeah, freshman year and sophomore year, you're taking the required courses, and then now that I am older and I can choose which right. courses I want to take, that probably has something to do with the number of students enrolled.
I mean, I teach freshman world history, and you know, my classes are in the mid to upper 20s. You know, I think, you know, there's at least I think my largest class right now is 27, and that's been, you know, and that's creeped up a little bit the last
year. One of the things that I found is that it seems like the elementary school takes a big hit out of all this. I think that the non-academic side of things, people don't even consider the five furlough days or taking the 2 days out of the school calendar, if I read it correctly, is if the kids don't come to school, you don't get paid for driving the bus or working in the cafeteria, et cetera. So that's just 2 days out of your pay. Sorry. And if the five furlough days goes to everyone, then if you're working for an hourly wage, now you're it's 7 days that you don't get paid through the school system as the bus driver or whatever other role that you play. But it looks like the elementary school took a big hit in all this by anywhere from 1 to 4 increase in class size, the loss of PE teachers, the loss of arts. Arts meaning arts in capital letters, music, art, etc. Jane?
That so far, with the budget that was submitted with the $8.8 million deficit, the elementary school was protected as much as possible. The addition of a student per classroom across the division was grade 4 through 12. Now, next on the list is adding one student per classroom K through 3, and then if we have to do more, they're looking at additional all across the board K through 12, and it's broken down on the tiers. This is information that is readily available at the county school's website on their budget page, and what we're looking at is potential school board reductions by tier. So yes, there is the potential, and there could be real differences in our elementary schools next year if we have to proceed without that extra $9 million.
11:54 on the wake-up call as we talk about school budget deficits in Albemarle County as well as throughout the state. Let me thank Salad Creations for allowing us to be here today. You can find them at 110 5th Street in Charlottesville, just off the east end of the downtown mall. Salad Creations allows you to choose from a variety of vegetarian salads, as well as those made with chicken, turkey, seafood. You can create your own from 4 varieties of greens, 40 toppings, and over a dozen dressings. Delivery and catering also available at Salad Creations. And coming soon, it's Salad Creations on Port Republic Road in Harrisonburg. And we got about 5 minutes left, so don't go anywhere, though, because at noon, it's Drew Thompson with Les Temps Perdue. If French isn't your thing, because you didn't take it or weren't allowed, and in our end, that's Times Gone By, which is 80s and 90s alternative music. At noon, it's Drew Thompson with Les Temps Perdue. All right, a question that probably should have asked earlier, but I say that all the time. Jane, Delegate Rob Bell is working through the state to have $2.8 million removed from Charlottesville and given to Albemarle School funding. Did I read that and pronounce that properly?
In a nutshell, yes.
So that could be $2.8 million if that all goes through out of the 8.8. So now we're only down to 6.
It could be. My understanding is the wording on that budget amendment, which is not a done deal. We don't know whether that will pass or not, but my understanding is the wording is that would be implemented the following year, so school year 2011-2012.
And do you think that that's fair or appropriate?
Rick, I didn't grow up here. I understand that this state, I may be wrong, I understand that this state is the only state in the union that has this city-county division. And when I moved here 4 years ago, I took a look at that and thought, why is it like this? So this is all part of a much bigger discussion of how the city and county can cooperate and whether they can cooperate. And, gee, if this amendment encourages further cooperation, maybe that's a good thing. It is a zero-sum situation where if that amendment does pass, the $2.8 million does come from the city and it goes to the county.
All right, 11:57. So just a couple quick questions that are out there. And Jane, I'm going to start this with you. It comes from Doug in Richmond. What's happening with the lottery system in public schools? Are those funds actually going to the from Virginia Lottery going to the state? And are you aware of anything, whether that helps or not?
I really don't know that. Okay. I know that there is an educational fund, and it's been cut. K through 12 education has been cut by Governor McDonald in his potential budget by $780 million. But where and how the money that goes into that fund, I don't know.
Is the reduction coming mostly to the administration or to direct against the student? Ryan, do you know the answer to that? I mean, is it happening in the school? What percentage is happening in the school versus what's happening downtown?
By administration, you mean people?
Pam Moran, everybody at the main office that we talked about a little bit ago, where a lot of that was done 2 years ago.
I mean, I think, again, they went through in the administrative offices and in the schools themselves. I mean, reducing department budgets and things like that across the board. I think there were reductions. So not just in the schools. Or
Chelsea, what are your biggest concerns about what's being cut? An AP course, having to pay for sports, more students in your class.
I think more students in the classroom would be my biggest concern. I think that you need that one-on-one teacher-student ratio. It just improves the learning environment to have a smaller class setting, at least for me. I know that's not the case for everyone, but I think it's more difficult to learn in a large group.
All right, Jane, one more time because our time is up. When and where for the Board of Supervisors meeting?
County Office Building, Lane Auditorium. The Board of Supervisors public hearing starts at 6. They put the sign-up sheet for speakers out at 5 p.m. We anticipate very large crowds and difficulty in parking and seating. If you wish to attend, come early.
All right. I feel like we could have continued to talk about this. I felt like we sort of jumped from topic to topic and gave everything a little short session there. But thanks to all three of you for coming in on your Sunday. And best of luck.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next week, it'll be the Oscars. Our man Sean McCord will be here doing all the talking. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon Gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.